ready for us today. You are the pain. Oh, 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 all the way. Oh, 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 the way.
And welcome to a Monday night football watch party. I'm your host, Jason. I never know how to open this. I'm used to like having the music on Friday nights, Mike. I'm used to having the music on the Sunday Blitz. You and I got to come up with a song or something for the beginning of this.
Like just sing it between the two of us?
Oh, you want a duet here? I got
Mike and Jason Show.
It's the Mike and Jason Show. Monday watch party. I don't know where to go. Like, we'll write something dumb for next time. I don't know.
I'll whip out the guitar, knock the dust off it.
Dude, that'd be pretty good. Let's do that. We'll do that. All right. I am your host at BFTG Jason, and with me, as always, is my boy at Dirty Jobs 21. We've got Eli in the background doing the producing for us tonight. He'll be giving us stats when we need him. I'm pretty impressed. I really kind of like having Eli in the background giving us some stats. It's pretty kick-ass. I have a producer on Sunday morning who never does that for us. I don't want to mic any names.
Have to get out of bed, that'd be tough.
Yeah, it would be tough. You can give us a call at 205-797-5337 or 205-79-SLEEP. If you're watching us on Mixler, well, no, we don't have Mixler tonight because of the Tuesday show, but we are on YouTube. We are on Twitch. We are on Twitter. Or whatever, all the social networks that you kids have these days. I'm 40, I'm old, I don't know. Mike, how was your week, bud? How was your weekend?
It wasn't too bad, man. It wasn't too bad. Just still on, baby patrol and baby watch. And so we made it through another weekend without one more little, I don't even know what you call them these days, but those little things that come home from the baby things. So hopefully here soon, I'll be doing that, but I'm not doing too good now because I just watched Josh Allen lose, man. And I don't know how I feel about that. Josh Allen got shut down by a Kansas City Chiefs defense that I thought was going to be giving it up. They didn't really look too good on offense either, man. Kansas City, they did enough to get the job done, but boy, they weren't manhandling them like they do other teams. So I think Buffalo might still have a shot. Did you watch any of that game at all?
I got to catch the very end. I was at work till right up before the show. I got to watch a little bit while I was wolfing down some food. It looked like Travis Kelce had a decent game. Patrick Mahomes did some Patrick Mahomes things. Josh Allen looked kind of spotty. But, if I've learned anything from you, it wasn't that Josh Allen was bad. It's that everybody let him down. I saw my favorite white rapper in the NFL get a touchdown. Cole Beasley actually caught a touchdown.
He did. So
that was okay. Yeah, I didn't get to catch much of it. I wanted to see more of it, but it's another win for Kansas City. It's really them, the Ravens, the Steelers, and then I think everybody else in the AFC. Don't you think?
Yeah, I really don't. I don't see anybody being able to get past I think you're going to see like you said, Pittsburgh, ooh, Buffalo, Kansas City. Those are going to be
Titans.
Titans are pretty tough too. Titans, if they want to play football, they can really get some stuff done too. So yeah, that AFC is looking tough. The one thing we can probably both agree on is the NFC doesn't have a chance.
I am with you pretty much. Going into this weekend, people were talking about the Packers being the class of the NFC, and Tampa exposed them a little bit with that defense playing the way they played. They got exposed a bit. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of who in the NFC. Seattle, right? Seattle's the team that's been consistently good in the NFC. Everybody else has been up and down.
Right, right. Yeah, you saw things like Tampa Bay did pretty good. Their defense was looking pretty solid. At the end of the day, their defense was looking pretty gosh dang solid. But, it's just tough. It's tough to think of a team that can keep up with that kind of momentum, that kind of pace, because these offenses on all these teams are fast. They score on you quickly. And then they just can run the ball and pound it right down your throat. And there's just nothing you can do against that kind of a game plan, I think, coming from the NFC, the NFC side of things.
And it looks like we've got somebody who can join us here. We have a special guest. He's a guy who calls us every week. He's got his own podcast. We'll let him talk about it. It's not that podcast. It's this podcast. Al, welcome.
That ain't this podcast, and I appreciate y'all. How y'all doing, man? Y'all all right? What up, though?
We're doing good. We're doing good, man. I'm glad you could join us, Al. How we doing this evening, man?
I mean, we're good. As long as I don't know if you can hear the background, it's quiet. So anytime you hear quiet in my house, it's always good.
So I don't know if your house is like my house, but if you can't hear stuff in the background, that just means there's trouble brewing.
Right.
There's just noise that you haven't heard yet.
I keep my fingers crossed. It goes quiet. I'm hoping maybe somebody took it. Maybe everybody took a nap consensus. Everybody's asleep.
Hey, so Mike and I were just talking about, you know, this week in the NFL. How'd you do on fantasy? How'd it turn out? How was your how are your teams?
Well, I had Josh Allen and CH going tonight, and also the kicker for Arizona, and my opponent had Pat Mahomes and Stephon Diggs. And I think I'm ahead of him by 4 points. So as long as my kicker doesn't mess me up, I should be good. I could probably just not start him just to save myself the trouble.
Yeah. Well, do you get negative points for your kicker?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, bench him. Do it. Oh, bench him.
I'm pulling that guy right now.
Yeah, that's. I mean, listen, unless you get disqualified for not starting somebody, I'd bench him completely.
Well, no, I don't think it's my league, and I don't think I've ever set the rule, but I think I will. Good call.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take this. I'm up by four. I'm taking a zero.
It only makes sense.
So one thing I couldn't do get in the this
touchdown
show.
With CH.
Mm. Oh, man, right?
He's allergic to the end zone, I think. That guy just cannot find the end zone. He cannot get past that white chalk. He just cannot do it.
It's like he gets to the red zone and maybe some like PTSD or something happens and he gets all, I don't know. He just gets nervous as he reaches the red zone. I don't understand. He looked so good going up the field the entire way through. What was he averaging? Over five yards a carry?
0.6 yards a carry. 8.6 yards a carry is what he was averaging, man. 8.6. That's insanity. That's a friggin' running back now. That's a guy getting used.
And you can't get in the end zone.
You can't get in the end zone. They just signed a guy who can with Le'Veon Bell, huh?
Yeah, it makes it tough though, don't it? That makes it tough because you know they're not paying him what they're paying him to sit on the bench while CEH does his work.
Right.
They're paying him a lot of money. One of the things I wanted to do in this show. It's partially because we're on the blitz. Two of us are on the blitz. One of us calls the blitz. I want to talk about what we got right, what we got wrong. I want those opinions to be out there. I want people to know. I take accountability. So here's the thing. For example, Cooper Kupp. I called Cooper Kupp a couple times yesterday. Cooper Kupp had a bad game, but let me talk about Cooper Kupp a little bit. Cooper Kupp got behind the defense on two occasions. Had the ball thrown to him on two occasions and just couldn't track it down, was wide open and would have walked in for a touchdown on both of those occasions. Cooper Kupp had a ball in his hand in the end zone, something he normally catches. He had an opportunity for three touchdowns yesterday. The opportunity was there. The call would have been right, and sometimes you just make a mistake. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way, right? But I think the process is there, and that's what I want to say. Like, we put in the effort at starting Monday – for these things, we look at the stats, we look how many times they're on the field, the snap counts, where they're coming out of the slot to see who's going to have the opportunity to score. And does that mean every time it's going to be 100%? Absolutely not. So Cooper Kupp was a mistake. The Jaguars wide receivers were mistakes. We talked about Chark and Chenault. Big mistakes, right? Like,
definitely.
Chark was another one that had that. He had one in the end zone, dropped it too.
That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, opportunities are there. Sometimes the players don't make plays, and you end up on the wrong side of it. What I can say is we hit a lot more than we missed. Justin Jefferson played huge yesterday. A lot of it was garbage time, but played huge. Garbage time is full time for fantasy, right, guys?
Garbage time is my favorite time in fantasy. As a matter of fact, I love my garbage time.
As surprising as it sounds, we had a lot of people asking us. We had a lot of people asking if they should start Julio Jones. You know, it sounds like a no-brainer, but a guy coming off an injury, you know, we said, like, we probably had that question 7 times yesterday, and we said yes every time. You know, we got a lot more right than we got wrong. But, hey, if we got something wrong for you, call in. Let us know.
That was close.
Yeah.
Are you guys watching the football game at all, too?
Yeah, watching the football game. Yeah. I'm watching the football game and comments. And
I was going to say, I got it in the background. It was definitely no wrong cause as far as any advice you guys gave me. Let me say real quick, you know, injuries happen. No one can ever call that, like Jonnu Smith leaving in the third quarter and stuff like that. And I'm always a fan of opportunity as well. Like, if you have to go with the opportunity, because the likelihood of them doing good is way better than the opposite person. You know, like a Mecole Hardman. Like, Mecole might find the end zone, but he might not either. And it might be DeMarcus Robinson or something like that. Like, right. you always will have to start Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But there may be a straight touchdown to one of these other receivers.
Yeah. Now, so if you are watching the game, we are calling this the watch party. Dallas takes over for the first time. Dalton, the Red Rocket, gets his first shot. I see a lot of Zeke this game. Don't you guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. I think Zeke run, especially Dalton hucking the ball up there. I don't know if he has the experience with this team, but I really have a lot of faith in Dalton being able to come out here, do a good job, do what he needs to do, get the job done. I think there's going to be some situations where he's even better than Dak Prescott as far as, like, the passing game goes. Like, Dak Prescott can make some stuff happen, but Andy Dalton's a really good passer, man. He's really good at getting that ball. Needs to get it. So I'm kind of excited to see how he adapts to this Dallas Cowboy team. And I think he can easily beat the Arizona Cardinals. I think he can stomp them tonight.
We'll see. I mean, listen, Cardinals look good early. They've played poorly lately. That defense is suspect, but they're looking all confused right now. So we'll see what Andy Dalton can do. I liked Andy Dalton. I always said Andy Dalton was like the Mendoza line of quarterbacks. If you had a quarterback better than Andy Dalton, you don't need to look for a quarterback. And if you have a quarterback worse than Andy Dalton, you need to find a quarterback. So we'll see how he does in Dallas. He's about to go 3-and-out for his first series. So great to start, but that offensive line didn't really protect him much there either. They were right up on him quick.
I feel like that's the game plan to watch Zeke. Like, heavily, like, we know they want to move the ball through Zeke. Now there's no Dak Prescott. And it seemed like these last 3 plays, they've been just keying in on Zeke, and then he's been giving it right to him each time, like, not even trying to make it look like he'll throw it anywhere else. So if they can hold Zeke and then get a nice little lead, they're going to force Andy Dalton to chuck that ball the rest of this game.
So Mike, best call this weekend?
My best call this weekend, I think, was probably Justin Jefferson, just because of a lot of people were still speculative on what he was going to be doing. I was really high on his opportunity. I think if you listen to me on the waiver show, I was like about 50 to 60% of my waiver bid on that guy, because I felt like he was going to be a guy that got very heavily involved. And so to see him go out there and just do that again, and, I mean, I just really don't see a situation in which Minnesota is going to be playing a lot of football from where they want to play the game that they want to play, which is running it. I think you're going to see them have to huck it a lot. I think Justin Jefferson might be like a really good middle stretch run grab. I think this guy's going to be huge for me midseason.
Al, so what do you think? So between Jefferson and Claypool right now, if you had to roll with one of them, who are you rolling with?
Justin Jefferson.
He's done it multiple games. Yeah. You know, Claypool's had a second good game, but Claypool, what is it, three or four in a row now?
Yeah, I think so. And it's, I feel like Claypool's, he'll only do good depending on like opportunity, you know, like with Deontay Johnson out, it kind of helps his situation. Justin Jefferson seems to have emerged as the number two behind Adam Thielen over there. So I would prefer Justin Jefferson just because last year, the last couple of years, you would easily roster Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen with Kirk Cousin as the QB. So I'll do the same here.
Yeah, give me Justin. I think he might be the rookie. Oh, unless Clyde Edwards-Helaire keeps doing what he's doing.
Well, he's got a Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to start finding the end zone.
Right.
So, let's see. Rojo, only running back this year to get 300-yard games in a row. What are you guys thinking? Is he moving up your board?
I mean, he has to, right? I mean, if you can sit there and ignore it if you want to, but man, he's tearing it up. I think he's the guy to beat over there. I think you'll start seeing Fournette cut into him a little bit, but I don't really see why they would start giving the opportunity if it's not if he just keeps doing what he's doing with it. Man, he's crushing it. He's looking really good out there. He's looking. Passing every eye test, he's hammering that ball down the middle, down the side, catching it. You know, I'm really liking it.
So Eli wanted to point out that Herbert for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's another good one.
He's playing well.
Yeah,
and a quarterback will beat anybody, you know.
We're all just watching football. It makes doing a show tough, right? Like there's actual football on, two games tonight. Being fans, it's tough to not watch. You watching Kyler Murray do his thing. Want to see how he does tonight?
Right.
I think they understand. We're all doing this.
Yeah, they're probably barely paying attention because they're watching football too. I think Kyler Murray's a guy that. He came out. I really was kind of behind the radar on this guy. I thought he was going to do okay this year. I definitely didn't think he was going to be coming out the gate like he is. And I really didn't think, I mean, it makes sense. Throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, right? But you don't see all quarterbacks that do that all the time. And so to see him just have this great connection with DeAndre is amazing. So this kid's got a future. This kid's got a huge future over there in Arizona.
It just makes you wonder what Bill O'Brien thought trading Hopkins. It didn't matter what crappy quarterback they put with Hopkins over and over and over again. Guys getting 100 yards every game, right? And now you're going to put him with Kyler Murray, and people were fading him at the beginning of the season before the in the offseason. He's, you know, there's more weapons there. He's not going to have the chemistry. Blah, 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 blah. It's just DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best wide receivers in football. And all he keeps doing is, you know, catching the ball, 100 yards, multiple touchdowns. It's like, when are we going to learn? Some of these guys, you just don't fade them.
Right.
Year in and year out.
Yeah, I think Kyler Murray, you'll see him probably hit that he'll be probably one of those top three quarterbacks next year. I bet you'll see, like, you know how it always changes and fades and we always grab the wrong people too early. Like this year, Lamar Jackson's still a good quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a fantastic quarterback. But I feel like Lamar probably didn't get his draft value back on you yet if you're a Lamar owner. But you're going to see, like, Kyler Murray go a lot earlier next year. You see Josh Allen go incredibly early next year. Like, I think you're just going to see a lot of these quarterbacks. You're going to start seeing quarterbacks rising up the board because these guys are just doing so much with the football. It's hard to ignore them, you know? 16 to 50 points a game sometimes. Like, I had a game where Lamar Jackson got me 46 points 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think my trouble with it is, and one of the reasons why I'm a late round guy is because every year there's a Lamar Jackson from last year.
Right.
You know, you're grabbing him in the 11th round and all of a sudden he explodes and wins you a championship. And this year it could be, you know, if he keeps playing like he played early, could be Josh Allen. You know, he was getting drafted 8th, 9th, 10th round. You take him super late in the first several games, he explodes for you. And then what you have is the number one quarterback from last year hardly is ever the number one quarterback again this year. And even when he's good, he's not as explosive as he was the year before. So I have a tough time drafting these quarterbacks in the first three rounds, the first five rounds, the first seven rounds, because you can always find that value late. What you can't find is these running backs now, because the running back situation is just a freaking mess. If you don't have one of the studs, you're in trouble.
Right.
Man.
Like, you're hoping for
a Rojo.
Oh, right. Yeah. Have you guys looked on your waiver wire lately at running backs? Like, it's just such a depressing landscape on any one of my leagues. I'm like, I'm a fantasy analyst on several different platforms, and I don't know these guys' names. Like, I'm like, I have never heard of these guys before. Like, they didn't even have a combine. They're not even part of football teams last year or anything to that effect. Like,
you know what makes you laugh is when you go look at their page and see if you can find any measurables on them, and it's like the original. It's like the egg from the Twitter. Yeah, it's not even. There's not even a picture. It's just the Twitter egg. Like, you have no idea what they even look like.
It'd be no description, no next gen stats or anything. Whatever the app offers is just, yeah, this player plays on this team. Like, oh man, okay.
Employee of the year at Verizon 3 years running, like something like that on their bio.
Well, you know, they had that guy, Ernest Johnson, used to play Ernest Graham played for the Buccaneers. He was a Publix grocery bagger, and they're like, oh, you can come play for us. It's kind of like that. It's just like, you have no idea who these guys are. And that's one of the reasons why I like running back super early too. Cause like we talked about all these wide receivers in the middle rounds where you're getting all these Jefferson, Woods, you get all these guys. Now you can go pick a bunch of guys up off the waiver wire, rookies every week, get you 10, 11, 12 points. Fuck, find a running back that's on the waiver wire, getting you more than two carries.
Right. Right. Yeah, you can't even pick up Pollard in any of my leagues, any of my redraft leagues right now. Tony Pollard.
But I hadn't done anything all year, Tony Pollard.
Right, right. But there he is sitting on somebody's bench.
Just in case.
Yeah.
So Those were good calls that you guys made for me on Sunday. When I called back to figure out a better stash, and I went and picked up Dobbins, and when I picked up James White, I'm like, James White did great. Like, when I looked down, I was like, oh, man. And then Dobbins, you know, I just had. Then I heard Ingram went down in the third quarter.
Yeah, we actually, in our private chat, George asked, I wonder if, because White hadn't, I don't know if White had started playing well yet, but Ingram got hurt. And we were like, I wonder if Al went and grabbed him before the game started, like we told him to.
yes I did
that was
running back tight over here now.
Yeah, listen, now you got the only thing going on in New England, and I didn't see what Ingram's injury was, if it's gonna last. Maybe Eli could look up to see what Mark Ingram's injury ended up being.
Well, so it's looking like he's hopeful to play in week 8. It doesn't look like it's anything too severe or too serious. The only reason I know anything about it is they posted it on Sleeper that it looks like he's a day-to-day and questionable coming back on week 8. And I said, and they said, so he might be back. And I'm like, so the scoring will be the exact same as if he wasn't. So, yeah. It really doesn't matter if he's there or not. He's probably going to give you a goose egg, 2A, 2 to 3.
So Swift looked good.
Most likely. Oh, yeah.
Swift
looked good. Yeah.
Now, we talked about him a lot. I am right now saying go sell Swift.
Yep.
I'm saying disagree. I would be buying Swift. If you can get him now, and I mean right now you're going to be paying a slightly bigger premium than what you were last week. But if you go get him right now, there is a chance that you will be able to get him for less than what he's worth. Because in this next week and the week after that, I bet you can't get Swift for anything cheap. And I'll bet you he's in the rookie of the year conversation.
I would take, if you want to go rest of the season with me, excuse me, hold on. I'm going to, sorry guys, couldn't find the mute button fast.
Yeah, I'm coughing. Don't get off stuff, buddy. It's okay. It's okay.
Andy Dalton just almost threw a pick six. So I'm coughing. You know I'm about to say something dumb. I will go rest of the season. Rojo versus Swift.
Oh.
$10 bet to charity, Mike.
Say that again. Who is it between?
Rojo and Swift.
$10?
$10. I got Rojo.
Right now. Okay. Cap it. Right
Total
now.
Total fantasy points. Week 7 on.
I heard.
Week 7 on. Okay, I was going to say not total on the year.
No, going forward from right now. Guys, I'm going to step out. I'm going to grab a drink real quick. And then we'll talk about Swift and why I think you're in trouble a little bit.
Good, because I can't wait to tell Al how high I think you are right now. Al, look. Let me just tell you how high I think this guy is, okay? Like... So we got Rojo over there. Rojo's going in on the field, right? He's doing good. He's doing mm-hmm. really, really good. Do you really think that Leonard Fournette's just going to sit the bench and not do anything? Do you think he's not probably going to get involved?
No. I definitely think Leonard Fournette is going to get involved. Like, I felt like some of the reason Rojo's play has been so great is because of the absence of Leonard Fournette. So Leonard Fournette comes back. That'll be something. The wide receivers are still battling with health issues as well. The wide receivers and the tight ends, they still battling, you know, with all that. So it makes sense why they're leaning more on Rojo right now. But when everything gets healthy, we'll see what happens. Swift,
yeah.
take it from me, and I'm from Detroit. Do not get caught in a mirage or an illusion. It may look good now. I don't trust my team enough to see what's going to happen the rest of the season. Definitely a good bet. Definitely two running backs in the same predicament right now, even though Rojo's not a rookie. But I can't wait to see what'll happen now, too. I hope he does great, but I just know my team, and I know what they'll do to me sometimes. And they'll let me down really fast. They'll start giving the ball majority to Kerryon out of nowhere. Then it's Kerryon and AP again. And it's like, okay, so what are we doing? So I don't trust the coach. I love the player. I drafted him. He was like 14, 15 pick for me. It's a 10 team. But safety. I'm sorry. That was the
no
game.
No worries, man. I told you, quiet for a minute. Let me throw this out. And first, Eli saying for the bet, standard or PPR.
Give me one second, too.
We're gonna go half PPR.
Okay, half PPR.
Still. Half PPR. I think that's probably the most popular.
Yeah.
So let me throw some numbers, some short numbers out at you. Swift had 41, either 38 or 41% of the snaps. I can't remember which of those two. Both numbers are in my head, but that's fine. 38 or 41%. That's roughly up 6% from before their bye. Okay. Now, you also get a little bit of you're going to get a little bit of a benefit here because Swift already has by Rojo didn't. So you're going to get a game on me, but that's okay. What I will say is they're not going to have 41 rush attempts like they did yesterday. He's going to get 38 to 40% of 20 rush attempts going forward. He's not going to, it's not going to be like it was against Jacksonville every week. They ran the ball so many times and he saw less than 50% of that. Like I'm with you, Mike. I think he's going to be good. He's still sharing the backfield with Adrian Peterson. He's still sharing the backfield with Kerryon Johnson. And even though he's the better running back there, again, he's going to see a lot of games where he gets 10 attempts. And the volume's not going to be there.
I think even Matt Patricia can't screw this up. That's how confident I am that I think even Matt Patricia himself can't screw this up. And that's a bold statement, my friend, because I hate Patricia.
I would be willing. I mean, I did bet the exact opposite.
Yeah. Hey, you know, exactly. Like if I got to throw $10 towards your favorite charity as a result, I'm okay with that too. I just really am I'm a firm believer that Swift is the guy to own. As far as running backs, like Swift and Akers, to me, those are guys that I feel like you can pick up right now cheap enough that I feel like are going to dominate their backfields. Like I love what I'm seeing out of Henderson. I do, but I don't see it lasting. I just don't see him being the guy. Like he has done it before. He probably can't do it again.
I don't know. Akers got one snap, man.
One.
Yep. One. Like right. I've got to say, yeah, I think it. And Akers said zero touches. So Akers was on the field for one snap and zero touches.
I agree.
It's not like they're holding him out because he's, I don't know. Henderson looks good. Malcolm Brown looks okay. Akers, I think, will come and take some of Malcolm Brown eventually because Malcolm Brown's just a guy. That's why they drafted Henderson and Akers. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Akers just isn't doing it this year. Swift, I think he was one of the most talented. I think he was probably the most talented running back coming out. But then they, for whatever reason, they went and got Adrian Peterson. They still had Kerryon Johnson. And then they don't use Swift enough. I just think based on usage, I think Rojo, and you can say Leonard Fournette, but even when the season started, Bruce Arians said this is Rojo's backfield. And everybody's like, oh, no, it's not. Well.
And he proceeded to use Leonard Fournette.
Not that much. Honestly,
Leonard Fournette got hurt. But he was using him when he got hurt.
He had one halfway decent game. Rojo still had the majority of the touches. We'll see by the end of the year. But I do want to mention so Eli did pick up the information about Mark Ingram. He said Ravens Ingram won't return till after their bye in week 8. Sounds like an extended break might not be enough for Ingram to recover. Fantasy players should add Gus Edwards, who outsnapped J.K. Dobbins 32-30 on Sunday in advance of Baltimore's next contest against Pittsburgh. Ingram's participation in practices leading up to kickoff will be with monitoring source. That's Jameson Hensley on Twitter. Thank you, Eli. I mean, Gus Edwards is another one to look at, but I don't want to play either one of them against Pittsburgh.
No, Pittsburgh's defense has been looking just on point. I feel like that's going to be a game that ends at 10-3.
It's going to be nasty. Those are my favorite games to watch, though.
Right. Right. Good defensive matchups, good big hits and stuff like that. Yeah, me too.
It looks like Al had some family issues. That silence was the calm before the storm.
Called that. Looks like he completely ducked out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's welcome to come back whenever. Oh, back on. Yeah, like I said, he's willing to come back. He can come back whenever he I wonder if he had to get the belt out.
That's why we went on mute right there.
He had to go Zeke on his family real quick.
Camera here for a quick second. Not Zeke, Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson. He had to go Peterson on his kids.
My FanDuel name is Beat Like Jared.
What'd you say, Al?
I said, no, my daughter was calling me, and I was like, all right, hold on, give me a second, because I know she was just going to get louder from that point. And I was just explaining it to her. I'm just watching the game for a second. Daddy will be back. He's just watching the game with friends. Slightly working.
Having a watch party.
Exactly.
Man, I don't know. It is 0-0 in the first. Just another one of them games. I
need this game to literally have no scoring. In fact, I would have loved it if Kyler Murray would have gotten lost on his way to the stadium tonight. That would have been the perfect ordeal for me. Like, oh shit, I turned left and I ended up at a Steak and Shake. I don't know what happened. I missed the football game. That would have been good. That would have been okay for a lot of my fantasy teams tonight.
He got lost in a Frisco melt.
Exactly. anything.
Al knows them Frisco melts.
I need him to at least move the ball a little bit.
Frisco melts the only thing at Steak and Shake worth eating, I got to be honest. I mean, besides the milkshakes.
The milkshakes are about the only thing that's good there. Their fries are about a disgusting joke, huh?
I was going to say, okay, a Frisco melt with that sauce is good. Those fries are ridiculous. By the time they get to the table, they're freaking cold.
Right, and they're little, hot. They're like toothpicks. I believe they might actually be toothpicks.
You know what it is? Remember those old those potato chips they cut into the French fry shape? You know, the little stick fries that get in those little cans? Yeah, they just take those, soak them in water, throw them in a fucking paper cup and send it to your table.
Microwave it for 12 seconds so it looks warm, but that's they're not warm. Exactly.
Just a little bit to get a little smoke coming off. Like, all right, that's good.
Okay, so those are the worst fast food. Coming off of it. Yeah, those are the worst fast food fries. Which is the best?
McDonald's, hands down. Like, I hate McDonald's. I can't eat McDonald's. But they're fucking fries, dude. Oh.
McDonald's, second. I would say second. It would have to be Rally's or Checkers.
Rallies and Checkers are good. Okay, so those are good. Here, does this count as fast food? Five Guys, Cajun fries.
I don't know.
Because fast food.
Is that not fast food?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Al
froze up on us.
Right? I think he was getting ready to say, no, you're crazy. That Five Guys is not fast food.
Not fast food. Okay, then I'm going to throw Arby's curly fries out there.
That's another good one. That's another really good one.
Okay, best fast food hamburger.
Best what?
Fast food hamburger.
Ooh.
Arby's. For me, Arby's.
They don't have a hamburger though, do they? Do they just the roast
hamburger?
Yeah, they got beef and cheddar. That's pretty good.
Burger King then, if we do hamburger. I would say Burger King
for hamburger too. Yep.
I was gonna say Hardee's.
Hardee's is dope. Hardee's is dope. Okay, that's worthy.
There's just not a lot of them out there.
You know who has a meat? You know who has a mean hamburger game that you never see coming is Dairy Queen. Like a double cheeseburger from freaking Dairy Queen is legit, man. Like that's some of the best burgers I've ever had. Dude, you got to go to a Dairy Queen and get a double cheeseburger. I'm telling you, you'll thank me later.
Yeah, I think the problem is you got to find the right kind of Dairy Queen. Because my local Dairy Queen, I don't know that they do burgers. You know, it's one of those. It's a franchisee. So, like, they don't get any of the none of the coupons work. They only take cash. Their ice cream's on point, but they don't get, they don't get all the cool grill shit.
The paradox of Dairy Queen that only exists if you don't believe in it.
I mean, listen, it's better than not having a Dairy Queen.
Right. Fair enough.
Like, if I can get my Blizzard fix, my peanut buster part. Okay, so best sweet treat from Dairy Queen, since we're on that road.
Snickers, all the way. Snickers Blizzard. You can't beat it.
I like, I'll do an Oreo Cheesequake. It's Oreo with the cheesecake pieces.
That's not bad.
I do the strawberry ice cream with maybe little cheesecake pieces, but basically, I'd be real simple. Strawberry ice cream with real strawberries in there. Don't hold out.
Yeah, that's right.
I want chunks of it frozen. Put it in there. Don't be shy with it.
I'll tell you what I can't do is M&M anything frozen. That shit's like rocks when you eat it.
Right. Yeah.
Whoever thought that was a good idea. Never, okay. Eli, I see M&M. You back there, Reese's. Man. Reese's are not bad. Eli, I see you Reese's. Back there, bud. Like, don't hold out on your Dairy Queen favorite treats.
Here we go. We got Eli showing up. He's just got to unmute himself.
I'm there vegan. We go. I don't eat any of that crap.
Wait a minute.
That's gross.
I forgot Eli was a vegan, which means he can't have delicious ice cream. This has been the worst segment you guys have had.
There's plenty of stuff.
I think you can still eat Dairy Queen Blizzards if you're vegan. I don't think there's anything real milk involved in any of that stuff.
I was going to throw out Frosty for him because I'm pretty sure there's no milk in a real Frosty.
Right. No, those are powder form.
By the way, I totally messed that question up because the best fast food hamburger of all time is a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. That shit is it has the perfect amount of buns, cheese, mayo, bacon.
That's the OG. All right. We forgot.
I'm going to go back to watching the game.
Wait, hold on, Eli. Wait. I want to ask him what his favorite sweet treat is if he can't have Dairy Queen.
It's a kale chip. I'm
going to put sugar. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fry up this kale chip in pure vegetable oil. Then I'm going to put a little sugar on top and we're going to call it a sugar kale. It's kale lollipop.
Everything needs to be fried, salted, or sugared to be edible. Plenty of great things.
What's your favorite vegan dessert? I like banana popsicles.
Fruit is pretty great, but
no, it's not.
There are so many different there's fake ice creams made from like everything you can think of.
Have you ever froze grapes?
Those are good. I've had frozen grapes.
Frozen grapes to me taste like sherbet ice cream when you eat them at the right time. Like I really like freezing grapes. They remind me of ice cream.
Pineapple is my favorite. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You're blending a pineapple.
I've got to say that we're talking about desserts and he's talking fruit. That's why.
So you want sweet treat? How about Dole Whip? That shit is amazing.
So I make Dole Whip at home. Dole Whip is fantastic, but I haven't looked at the bag to make sure. You know what? I put milk in my Dole Whip, so you couldn't have my.
You're going off brand then. Real Dole Whip doesn't have any animal products.
Yeah, but delicious Dole Whip does. I got the ice cream drum in the freezer. I can make some Dole Whip. I'm going to make some Dole Whip tonight just for you, Eli. Because look, this fat guy needs more Dole Whip. That's what this needs. More dessert.
Stacks and stacks of Dole Whip.
As long as you're enjoying it.
All right, get your animal loving ass back off the...
I really honestly think it's cool, man. If you can commit to something like that and actually maintain it, like any kind of a dietary change to me is difficult on its own. But to actually go out there and avoid things like meat and things like that, I mean, kudos, man. The more the merrier, I think, as far as that goes. Not me. I can't do it, man. I'm a hunter by nature. I'm a meat eater by nature. Like, I just can't back off from it.
It's got to be weird to go to restaurants, though, because, like, most of their shit has something that you can't have, right? Like, including butter.
If you're knowledgeable.
That's why they're trying to change the game, though.
Yeah. See, I mean, I did keto for a really long time. And like, if you just know what you're going for ahead of time, like it really isn't that inconvenient. You can just kind of jump through. Now I'm sure finding a full vegan menu on like certain occasions is probably a lot trickier than a guy might think, but at least with keto, like you could go in there and find your cheeses and your meat, stuff that you can actually eat, no bread, you know, avoiding all that kind of stuff.
You can get a steak anywhere, right? Like, keto's not hard to shop for.
It really is. If you're looking for something like, say, fast food or something like that, I mean, if you order it without a bun or things like that, I don't know. Like, there's just, to me, and that's just weird. Like, and when you go into a convenience store, it's like everything has sugar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. You can always get a salad. I think that's probably where Eli just, I'll get a salad, no cheese. Can't have ranch though. Like, how could you eat a salad or pretty much anything without God's gift to this earth, ranch?
No ranch. Right?
Ranch. Dairy-free ranch.
You don't like ranch, Al?
No. No, sir. What? No, sir.
Okay.
I might be one of the most differentest persons you've ever seen or met ever. I don't like no ranch. I don't like mayonnaise or Miracle Whip. It's ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce, A1, and that's it for me. I'm simple. Nothing else. I don't need anything else. Meat and cheese.
How do you like your steak?
Medium.
Okay. I'm okay with medium. I like a medium rare.
Like a medium. I got my homie on the podcast, the one that normally sits right next to me. He loves his medium rare and sometimes rare. So that's his thing. I like my medium. I got my girlfriend to start liking medium. She was really into well done. And I'm like, look, this was the way you was raised. Let me show you something different. And started doing a medium for her. And she was like, okay, this does taste better. So medium, that seems to be my best temperature for my steak. But that's my favorite food too, steak.
George likes his well with ketchup.
See, and I like to just
like my father.
I like to hop on the back of a cow and then just kind of rip the back open a little bit and then just kind of start gnawing right there while I'm riding the cow. Maybe that's how Wyoming people do steak, but that's how I've always done it.
Eli's about to throw up, I think.
So you're riding the cow backwards?
I feel bad saying that joke around a vegan, but, dude, I like rare steak. Yeah. I honestly don't eat a whole lot of meat, though, myself either. Like, I'll probably eat meat 3 times a week at the very most. Like, for the most part, I would say once a week, if that. And, I mean, it's just kind of a choice me and my girlfriend made about 7-8 months ago that we just – and it's more of the environmental impact of meat that we felt like weird about. And I don't know, you call us hippies, call us whatever you want, but it was just that was just the decision we made. And so we got really good at cooking all kinds of different vegetables and things like that. Like, so I eat a lot of asparagus. I love eating a lot of fruit and things like that. So we keep it going, but yeah, but I'll cook them. I'll prepare them with milk and butter and things like that. And I eat a lot of eggs as well because I get a lot too. So,
So when you don't eat meat, what is your meal? I mean, pasta, right?
Yeah, like pasta and salads and things like that. Yeah, a lot of sauces.
Who are you saying hi to?
My girlfriend. She just got home.
Oh, put her on the camera.
Yeah,
let her say hi.
Me. She even heard that and she took off in the other room. She's like, not gonna happen.
Oh man. Let's see.
9 months pregnant, just got off work. She ain't having that.
This game has been a snooze so far, but it looks like
she is. 9 months, dude. I'm like, I'm gonna be a dad any day again.
Congratulations, homie.
Yeah, thanks, man. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Boy or girl?
It's a girl. We're going to name her Al.
She could be Al.
Name her
We're going to name her Al because you call. And you hang out
with her.
We're naming her Allison, though. Yeah, there you go. Allison is a cool name. But no, we're naming her Liliana. Little Lily.
We're excited. Liliana? All right. That's pretty. Congratulations, man. That's a beautiful thing.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
She, you gonna make her play football?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, dude, she's gonna have my shoulders. It's on. You can be a linebacker and female. You can ask my daughter. My daughter was a power forward in basketball, too. Dominant. Like, she owned the key. Just flat owned the key. Me as a woman, I would have been a dominant basketball player. There's no doubt. Me as a man, however, not so much. On a podcast with you, fine gentlemen, instead of, you know, in the NBA where I belong.
my son is up to my shoulders in height at 7 years old, 110 pounds already.
Jeez.
At seven.
Jeez.
So,
all right, so what sport is he playing?
Right now, none. He had skull surgery, like brain surgery, when he was like four. So he's not allowed to play football. Okay. So I'm trying to get him to do some basketball because he's tall already. But he's not very coordinated either. So like football, like a lineman, he could have probably been a lineman. He's smart enough to play line, but I think his mom's gonna make me keep him off that line. So probably. I might. Yeah, because you know, one bad hit back there, and he's in a world of hurt. So
not worth it.
Yeah, and you all want that.
It's bad to have a football body and not be able to play football, though.
Right. Well, you'll play basketball with that football body, and you'll be just fine. Another good sports, baseball, and another great sports, wrestling. Man, these are all sports. I mean, it's all in the hip. You just got to hip it up and just go be a dominant force.
Yeah, he's
none of my kids play sports. Like none of my kids. I named my son Nolan Ryan, and he does not play. He just is like, no, I don't care. I'm not gonna throw a baseball. And he's a lefty and a right. He can throw left and right, and he can throw accurate. And he's like, I don't like baseball.
Hey, you know what I want to do, Dad? I want to play video games.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's exactly what he did. He played video games instead. Dude, I tried so hard. I'm like, go out there, and he's like, dude, he would sit there, and he like, so I'd take him to a baseball game, and he would straight sit on first base and start drawing blueprints in the sand. Like he's like, he goes, I'm like, buddy, you got to get up, and he goes, I really don't. Like, this is a like 6 year old. I'm like, man, that's some freaking awareness there. He just doesn't like it, you know? And so I wasn't going to be the guy that forced him into something he didn't like and hope that he got into it. But just never happened.
Yeah, my daughter was super into gymnastics when she was young. And then she got a little bit older and was like, you know what? I'm not into this anymore. And you're like, what are you going to do? She was good at it. She, you know, best in her class, doing all kinds of cool shit, and just decided one day it wasn't for her. She just stopped doing it, and you're like, I'm not going to force her into something she doesn't want to do. It just, yeah, I'm not Tiger Woods, Dad.
Tiger Woods, Dad.
But at the same time, though, man, it sure would be nice if he could have thrown the ball and made hundreds of millions, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it would have been okay. But, I mean, if he's not living his best life, am I living mine? You know,
I mean, you would be when he shared that hundreds of millions.
Something about hundreds of millions makes that whole feeling go right on away.
I mean, you can get a whole lot of best life for 100 million.
That's a fact, right? It's like, I'll be mad at my parenting skills when I'm on my gold plated yacht in the middle of the ocean fishing all day on a Tuesday afternoon while everybody else is working.
Right. With that Patrick Mahomes money.
Right, with that patty ice money, exactly.
It seems like my daughter at 2 years old, she seems to like the gymnastics thing, so we'll see what happens. That's one thing. I just wanted to see what they'll naturally start liking, and then just, all right, let's see if you like this. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. I'm, you know, didn't want to force them to do what they don't want to do.
What's tough is when they
really, I'd rather not deal with the headache.
Right.
Well, what's tough is when they really like to do stuff that they're not very good at.
That is
tough. And they're really good at other stuff, right? Like, you can't, it's not like you can be like, hey, honey, you're never going to be an artist because, well, I don't want to be mean.
Well, like my daughter is cheerleading, right? Like I just told you, she has her dad's frame. I'm a big goofy looking dude, right? Like I got really long arms, broad shoulders. I'm a big guy. Like I'm telling you, this girl could box out anybody in the key because she had big shoulders and she could box anybody out. Like she's just bam, 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 just going. And then like, but she wants to go be a cheerleader. And it's like, well, like you can't be one and the other. I mean, she does okay at the whole cheering thing, but it's like, the passion isn't there, you know, halfway through the whole thing. You know, there's no real, like, I mean, there's competition in cheerleading, right? There is, but not say the same level of competition as say basketball. When there, you're out there, you got five people, you're trying to beat each other every single game. Whereas you go out there and you do a cheer, everybody high fives each other at the end of it. You know, they're like, everybody did their best. You know, basketball just seems like it's got more of that grit, that determination, that whole, the competitiveness, right? Like, so it's tough to, when they like want to go focus on these things that they're not good at. And when they're so good at other things, you know, or maybe not as good at, not good at isn't a good thing. She was a fine cheerleader, just not as good as she was, say, a basketball player.
Yeah. Yep. So Christian Kirk just scored the first touchdown. I think that goes down as a pass. Little shuffle.
Was it a little touch pass?
A little touch pass. So.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah. That's a pass.
So if you got Murray, you got Christian Kirk, you just scored a touchdown.
So hopefully that wasn't the real Kyler Murray, and the real Kyler Murray got lost on the way to the game, like I said earlier.
Isn't that what started us talking about food, I think?
I think so. I believe that was DeMarco Murray and not Kyler Murray now that sure. We're watching it.
DeMarco Murray.
Since we're looking close.
Technicians are listening right now. Maybe I'll get lucky on that one.
It was probably Bill Murray.
It was Bill Murray. Give the points to Bill Murray before he was a zombie.
From Space Jam. It's the Space Jam Bill Murray.
Save the day, Bill Murray.
Exactly right. He came in, had the critical assist.
Man, out of nowhere.
Space Jam.
I wouldn't be fine if my daughter grew up to be Icebox.
There you go.
Little Giants.
She's gonna see a lot of football with me. Like, I don't see myself stopping fantasy football.
No.
Now that I started. I told my homie, I was like, "Oh yeah, you never should have gave me this because, yeah, it's over." And
we'll have to get him on too. Yeah, for sure. I was listening to your guys' pod today. We'll have to get you guys both on. We're just kind of like chesting it out, seeing how you go on a show and things like that. We'll definitely have to do this again in the future, man. We definitely We want to get you guys on board on the Sleeper Wire team because, man, finding good talent and everything like that, people that know football, it's always just the hardest dang thing ever. And you guys just got that click to you, you know, like that boom where you know what's going on. Like, and it, like I said, ask Jason. It's hard to find people with that kind of knowledge. It's actually hard to find that people with that kind of knowledge that can also talk. And you got that radio voice, man. So, pretty excited about getting you on board on this team, man. It's going to be a good time. Some Monday night action. I think one of the problems with our Monday night is because we say, like, this is a show where you can call and yell at us about, you know, all the bad advice we gave you. But I think that these guys are too good at what they do. like people don't want to call and say, hey, you blew me up. You did this. Cause they're doing fine. They won this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Drop their opponents or our phone number.
Well, what's even tougher is because we get a lot of questions on Sundays because people listen to us throughout the week, listen to us when they drafted, listened when we talk about trading. Like, so we get, even when we make a mistake, it's like, it's one player on a really great team that they may have, where they didn't get their optimal lineup, but they still did well. It's still like, hey, I've got Derrick Henry. I've got DeAndre Hopkins. I've got all these great players. And then I picked up the right guys off the waiver wire. You know, I ran and grabbed Gaskin real quick. Cause you told us ahead of time, you know, and all of a sudden, like your worst player, you've got the question of every week, like, I've got this really great player. Should I drop him for another really great player you're saying to pick up? And then, so even if we give you the wrong advice, it's okay. You only scored 12 points instead of 17. You know, it's not bad. So
it's not that bad. You just didn't do as good. You guys
that's for sure.
Y'all had a caller. I think they called it Sunday. Who actually said you guys suggested he start Chase Edmonds and he didn't. And he said this week he was going to take you guys' advice. So yeah, you guys definitely are, you know, y'all know y'all shit for sure.
He lost by 4 points because he didn't listen to us and he didn't play Chase Edmonds. And Edmonds would have got him that touchdown he needed. I remember that call. And listen, again, you can make a mistake at any given point. It's not like we're going to be 100%. It's not like anybody's going to be 100%. But, man, we do the work, so we know where these guys – we know who's in the position to do the right things. And that's what we like to bring on Sunday.
And at the end of the day, too, we're just giving you the advice, the things that we would do in that situation, right? At the end of the day, you're your team manager. You're the guy who sets that lineup. We can tell you what we would do in that situation. Just because I would do that doesn't mean that you have to do that, you know? When you say, I set this guy in my lineup and I put him in, that's on you, man. I'll tell you that I did the same thing. I'll even show you a screenshot saying, dude, like, I know John Brown got 0.0 points. I played him too. Like, I put him in my lineup too because I was that confident that he was going to come out there and do the job. It happens, man. But I mean, if I tell you I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
I definitely should have looked at the weather. I felt like maybe the weather would have been like, all right. Because once I seen it, I was like, damn, all right. But you're right. I would have started John Brown too because I figured he would have had a better game just because you clearly could see that the Bills needed to stretch the field with John Brown the last week when they lost to the Titans.
Well, and look at John Brown tonight. Like, he didn't have shit happen, but he was two plays away. He had a touchdown that he just barely missed. He had one that he would have had a touchdown on, but he got, like, hit, like, 12 seconds before he even got the ball. But that would have been a touchdown. There's another play. I mean, there was just a lot of plays where there was interferences and things like that. The things that cut out the cut out the plays, you know, they ruined the fantasy value for us, but it happened. You know, I mean, we had the play right. We had the call right. Just that it was interference and we didn't get the yardage. We didn't get the touchdown.
Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. What I am going to say is Zeke's fumbled twice. Looked terrible.
Oh God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because I talked to one of my homies and I'm like, look, man, Ezekiel Elliott is just not that guy. He fumbles a lot. And he thought, for whatever reason, I didn't know what I was talking about. When we get done here, I'll be calling him.
One of my favorite reviews is the review that the people sit there and talk trash on us. They told us to not do this and they told us to sit this guy. And then you'll look up the numbers and the guy had like a 0.12 or something like that, you know, one catch or something. Those are always my favorites. Like, yep, we don't know what we're talking about, right? Like, thanks, dude.
Well, all right, guys. Al, why don't you tell the people where they can find you and talk about your podcast again? And
well, yeah, for sure. Y'all can definitely find us on YouTube as well. DAT ain't this, you know, spelled the regular way. That ain't this podcast. You know, check us out, tune in, let us know, comment, like, subscribe. You know, me and my co-host, I told them what I was going to be doing tonight. They said, you know, shout out to y'all, appreciate y'all as well. And I want to say thank y'all, appreciate y'all as well for the opportunity. This was a lot of fun. It's been great knowing y'all and glad the relationship has blossomed into what it has to this day. So thanks again. That ain't this podcast. You see the name down there is DJ Please. They call me by my real name, so don't pay that no attention. But no, it's no issues. But appreciate everything.
Yeah, welcome, Al, for here, man. We love having you on board, man, and it's definitely a good time every time. I love hearing your voice. Love to talk.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Al. Man. Thank you for being on. To my left, it's at DirtyJobs21. Check out Dirty Jobs. He is as dirty as it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's a great follow. Follow me at BFTG Jason and follow the Sleeper Wire Show at the Sleeper Wire Show. And with that, guys, thanks for watching football with us on this Monday night.